Welcome to the Morning Ritual Podcast, meditations and conversations to set the tone for your day. I'm your host, Lily Balch, and today we have Tracy Stanley on the podcast.
So this is an interview that I've been looking forward to for many, many months. I first read Tracy's book, Radiant Rest, about 2 years ago. Radiant Rest, Yoga Nidra for Deep Relaxation and Awakened Clarity is the full title. And it's been such a great resource for me personally and professionally. I return to it again and again. And her latest book, Luminous Self, has become another go-to resource. And as you can imagine, I have so many questions and things I want to dive into with Tracy. But before we get into it, let's just give her a warm, warm welcome. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lily. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. So I love to begin our interview episodes by grounding our listener in who you are. So could you share with us a little bit about yourself, what you adore teaching and sharing with the world, and maybe touch on what brought you to this place of such deep, amazing, aligned work?
Well, that probably could take a long time, but I'll make it short. I had a moment of spontaneous meditation when I was in my early 20s and didn't really know what happened to me. It was kind of like sitting watching a sunrise and all of a sudden being in a moment of absolute peace, bliss, and stillness. And that led me to trying to discover what it was that felt like it was being revealed from within me as opposed to something that happened to me. I read a lot of books. I explored different types of meditation, eventually found yoga, and eventually then found the Yoga Sutras. And when I found the Yoga Sutras, I read a translation of Sutra 136, which basically talks about this place that's within each of us that is eternal and effulgent, that is also beyond all conditioning and is said to be beyond all sorrow. And when I read that, I was like, oh, there's a place within me that's beyond all sorrow. And that this yoga practice is meant to help us remember that place. Then I started to kind of shift my yoga practice away from more physical asana and more towards yoga philosophy and deeper meditation and tantric practices. And so I spent a long time teaching and practicing tantra and really realizing this kind of idea that's inherent in tantra, that the outside universe is just a reflection of the inner universe. And that when you start to kind of dip into that, it becomes a big unfolding. And so what I would say is that I am continuing to unfold and realize and remember, and that brings me to exactly where I am today.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I actually want to read an excerpt from the beginning of your book. It's a poem called Reclaiming Your Power. And for those of you who are listening, can you receive this poem like a meditation? If you're in a place where you can close your eyes and you can kind of bring extra attention to the words, I invite you to do that. So Reclaiming Your Power. The experience of being, a letting go of doing, a presence, eyes seeing beyond the forms, ears hearing the vibration of light, every sense pulsing in and out, a dance of knowing and forgetting, of trusting and doubting, of grasping and releasing. Now, just let me remember when I have forgotten, beauty is transparent. I see truth in divine connection. Knowing is already here. I am whole and connected. I am supported within and without. Let every day be a remembrance, a reclaiming of truth. I love that bit of knowing and forgetting, trusting and doubting, grasping and releasing. It is so human of us to get distracted and forget ourselves, forget our radiance. So recognizing that dance, I love it. So I'm curious, what does it feel like for you to remember that self, the capital S self?
Yeah. I think for me, it feels like moments of awe, moments of wonder, moments of stillness, of silence, of being in a place where I can kind of pull back my personality and let the true light emerge. So I think that those times when that happens, for some of us, when we're in the doing all the time, when we're in this place of extraction or feeling as though we have to keep going on the hamster wheel, we don't allow ourselves to have moments or the opportunity for moments like that to arrive. And so that's the first thing that I think we need to remember, is that we need to have moments of stillness and presence and silence, even if it's just 5 minutes a day.
So you're saying that when we get rest, we give ourselves the opportunity to connect back to our true selves?
Well, not only when we rest, but when we walk in nature, when we silently sit and watch the sunset or sunrise, right? When we don't have an agenda, and we're just being as opposed to doing. So I think any of those times are windows and portals to remembering the self. And I think that the self, from my experience, feels like a vibration, but it is a remembrance. And it's a very fleeting moment. You know, it's for most of the times when I've felt like I have felt my true self, it hasn't been something that has lasted for months or years, right? It's something that emerges and then recedes. And so my daily question is, how can I create space for that to emerge so that I can keep remembering, because I'm constantly in that place of remembering and forgetting.
Yeah. And I totally hear you with all of that. It's a practice of remembering to slow down and create that space. Now, what advice would you give somebody who knows they need to rest, but they have a really hard time carving out the time, and they might feel guilty, maybe shamed by themselves or another person? Maybe they feel like they don't deserve the rest, or fear that if they rest, things will just fall apart. So yeah, what advice would you give there?
Yeah, well, there's a few different things. I mean, I think that one is we have to practice a little bit of self-inquiry to ask ourselves, what are the messages that we received around the worth of rest and our ability to have it integrated into our life? Another would be, who was the person that modeled rest and self-care for you? And how would your life change if you were well rested? What are the top three things that you know would change in your life if you were well rested? And so when you ask yourself these questions and maybe take a few minutes to sit and journal about it, it becomes very revealing, because then you can kind of ask yourself, well, these ideas and beliefs that I have around my worthiness, around rest, are they from this lifetime? Are they inherited from parents? Is it coming from generational trauma? Am I ready to maybe shift that? Am I ready to create a new legacy? Are these three things that I've come up with that are really important to me that I know would change if I were well rested? Is it worth it for me to start shifting something in my life to create a different trajectory. Because we don't really want to wait until our body is telling us you need to rest. We want to have a daily practice of intentional rest so that we don't get to that point of exhaustion. And a lot of times what happens when people start a rest practice is they start to notice, oh, I actually didn't realize how exhausted I really am, right? Because the overculture is kind of keeping us in this thing of you have to do, you have to produce, you have to show what you're producing, you have to constantly be out there. And it doesn't allow for any time to have a realization that maybe your source of power is inside of you as opposed to outside of you. So the advice that I would give to anyone, including myself, is to make a list of the ways in which we are distracted, the ways in which we waste time, the ways in which, and maybe even some of the relationships and the activities that we have that are not life affirming. And when we make a list of those things, we can start to see, oh, here's this list of all the things that are not life affirming for me. And there's a practice in the luminous self called the do list. And that's about a 5-minute kind of contemplative meditative practice that asks you some questions around impermanence. And what would you release if you knew that you had a very short time to live? When you do a practice like that, or you create a list of all your distractions, it starts to become very clear about how much time we're actually wasting. And if we can just say to ourselves, okay, I'm going to give myself a 7-day practice, a 7-day ritual of rest. And I'm going to choose one thing on this list that I'm going to stop doing just for 7 days. And I'm going to replace rest in that place of scrolling constantly on Instagram, obsessively checking emails, online shopping, whatever the things are that we do to distract ourselves. And just give yourself the gift of 7 days of rest and letting go of something that you know is not life affirming, and just see what happens.
Love it. Yes, yes, yes. So just a note for our listeners, both Radiant Rest and Luminous Self are full of these amazing prompts for journaling and reflection. And it's one of my favorite aspects about your book. So you can really dive deeper on your own with the tools that you give. And something that you speak of in Luminous Self that's coming to mind is forgiveness. You write that forgiveness is one of the most potent tools of healing. Now, could you explain why it's so powerful? What is really happening when we forgive, right? Self-forgiveness and forgiveness of others, but maybe starting with that self-forgiveness part.
Yeah, I think we always have to start with self-forgiveness, as I talk about in the book, because not everyone maybe deserves our forgiveness. So we have to be clear about that as well, right? So if we can start with this idea of forgiveness with the self, think about what happens when you are holding on to not forgiving yourself for something. What does it feel like? It kind of feels like the heaviness, right? It feels like a gripping. It feels like we're holding on. It feels like we can't release. And so self-forgiveness is really an act of compassion towards ourselves. It's an act of self-love. We all make mistakes. That's how we grow. We're not perfect. Perfection means completion, which basically means it's the end. I personally would like to be in a place where I'm constantly growing, constantly learning, and constantly allowing myself to see where I've made mistakes and to be able to trace back perhaps to the thought constructs and the beliefs and the conditioning that led me to make those mistakes so that I can be more in forgiveness of myself. And then maybe or maybe not, that leads to forgiveness of another person. I don't believe that forgiveness of another person actually needs to involve that person. I don't think that you need to, you know, sit at a table and tell some, look them in the eye and say, I forgive you. I really think that that's a process that you can do within yourself. And my experience has been that when I have forgiven those people who have hurt me the most or betrayed me, that there is a sense of spaciousness and freedom that opens up inside of me that allows me to be more loving to those people in my community and those people in my family who deserve and appreciate my love and reciprocate love back to me.
I love that. Inner spaciousness, and a lot of healing can occur in that spaciousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this podcast is called The Morning Ritual, and we love small practices, daily practices that have the power to create big change. And you write about rituals. You write, rituals will help you to honor, remember, reclaim, and tend to the forgotten parts of yourself. Ritual is the fascia that holds the center when it seems like everything else is falling apart. A daily ritual is a cumulative practice that buoys and nourishes us on every level and is a powerful way to continue to weave the thread of practice through our lives. Ritual is our link to the unseen forces of healing. Now, there are a bunch of rituals in your books, and one that really caught my attention was mind mapping. And now mind mapping is a practice you do daily, right?
Mind mapping is a daily practice. It is a beautiful practice. So mind mapping is something that is also referred to as radiant thinking. And so we can think about mind mapping as taking a core central idea and allowing it to spread out into other ideas. And so the way that I work with mind mapping, and once you learn how to do it, you can literally shift it for anything. But the ritual that I use is basically there's the do list practice that I think I mentioned earlier that's in the luminous self that really takes you through your life and brings you to the end of your life and asks you the question, what would you want to do with the last moments of your life? And that becomes the central theme of the mind map. And from there, we can think about, okay, what are some of the goals that I would like to achieve in the next year? What are some of the obstacles that I'm facing, right? What is my kind of whisper of the soul that, as I like to think about it, what is the message that I received or the download that I received from my morning meditation? And these things then start to create this mind map that says, okay, the obstacles need to be kind of dealt with. We can't just let the obstacles keep going. We need some antidote. We need an auspicious action that is going to counteract the obstacles. So then that goes into the mind map as well. And then we have the goals, and we also need auspicious actions that help to move our goals forward. And then we have the whisper of the soul, the download that came from meditation. Can we honor that? How can we honor that with an action? And then we have our community. How can we use that central word and bring it into our community? And everything in the map needs to be aligned with that central word. So my central word is love, right? If anything that I am doing is not aligned with love, then I know for myself that it's not dharmic. And so it's a longer process of explaining how to do the mind map, but the mind map is basically a way to keep you in alignment with the remembrance of who you are. And that becomes a very powerful tool, not only for alignment, but to be able to manifest what is important to us in a way that is kind of without doubt. It's not carrying the doubt of, do I deserve this? Is it worthy? Because you've already done a sadhana or a practice or a ritual that leads you to that center word.
Allowing you to really live with intention.
Mm-hmm.
So has your word ever changed?
No, my word has not changed. Yeah. And I've done this with hundreds of students. And once they do the practice of the do list, it's very rare that the word changes.
And with all the students that you've seen, are there like a lot of similar do words, or are they quite unique?
It's very unique. It's very surprising what comes through for people, because the process of going through the meditation to get through that to that word is very opening. And so you really are kind of in this place of really facing the reality that we all are going to die. And what do we want our life to be about? What do we want to leave behind? And most people are not thinking about that. They're in the doing, living in the moment, trying to grasp whatever they can. And there's not a lot of thought about that. So when you do something like this as a daily practice, it keeps everything very clear and at the forefront of your mind of what is really important. And things that are not important, that are not life-affirming for you, that are not in alignment with that central word, start to fall away. And that creates more spaciousness for you to have the experience of that word that's at the center of the mind map.
Spaciousness, spaciousness. I just opened up a yoga, sound healing, and meditation studio in London called The Space, inspired by the practices that give us that feeling of inner spaciousness.
Mm. Congratulations.
Thank you. Now, a lot of the other work that you do and you speak about in Luminous Self is ancestral work. You even have a chapter called The Ancestors Have Your Back. And for those listening who haven't done much ancestral work yet, where would you advise they begin?
Yeah, so I would say firstly, the work that I do around it is really just pointing to the fact that we have to acknowledge the ancestors and giving people tools to be able to do that and resources then for them to kind of deepen their journey. In order for us to know who we truly are, we also have to know where we come from, right? Not all of us have the luxury of knowing the people that we come from because we might be adopted, right? But there is DNA testing now, and so we can see the regions of the world that we come from. And we can do very simple things like bringing in the foods from the places that we're from into our diets, bringing in going to visit those places, reconnecting with elders if we have the opportunity to be able to do that, to find out the stories of our lineage, because this helps us to understand who we are, right? And why certain things are being, might have, you know, things that we have inherited, ways of thinking, little rituals, whether they be recipes or ways of doing things that we don't even know where they came from. And so our ancestors are not only in our DNA, but they are in the subtle space around us. And sometimes they're waiting for us just to acknowledge their presence, right? And so sometimes we have a dear beloved parent or sibling who's passed on, and we feel heartbroken, obviously, because they're not here in the physical realm, but also because we feel like there's no way that we can be in connection with them anymore. I've known so many people who feel as though they have had a better relationship sometimes with a parent who's passed on because of this doing the work of ancestral wisdom. And so what I would say is, and as I talk about in the book, a very easy way to begin is to have an ancestor altar and to light a candle every day at that ancestor altar and see what happens. That's the best way for you to learn.
I actually haven't done the DNA test, but I'm inspired to do it now.
Yeah, it's amazing what can happen when you open the doorway to wanting to know. So many times I've heard stories, and this has also happened to me as well, that I started to look into the ancestry and started my ancestor altar. And then all of a sudden there was an elder from Bermuda who I was talking to. And she's like, oh, I have all these pictures of your great grandparents from the 1800s. And I was like, what? So how does that happen just out of the blue? It's like, no. And all of a sudden, all these other stories and relatives and photographs started coming forward. It's like that this is not a mistake. You know, you're asking for this connection and for information, and it's coming.
I love that. So Tracy, final question. Right now in your life, what are you currently learning?
I think the biggest learning that I'm in right now, and I don't know that I have a particular lesson that has come forward yet, is really just how connected we all are and how we are nature. And I think if there's anything that is really obvious, it is the harms that can happen in the world when we are under the illusion that we are not connected and that our thriving is not reliant on one another and that community is not important. And so, you know, we can see this with the over 100 wars that are happening in the world right now. And I think that that also speaks to the war that is inside of us that we also need to face. And this is part of the practice of self-remembrance and self-reflection. It's more important than ever right now to be in those inquiries. It's the only way that we'll imagine a new future for this world.
Beautiful. And for our listeners to learn more about you, to get your books and maybe work with you, how can we find you?
The easiest way to find me is on my website at tracywith2esstanley.com.
Awesome. I'll be sure to pop that in the show notes below. And we will end the episode the way that we always do, with a full breath in, a complete breath out, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.